Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so excited that you have joined us. We have so many wonderful things to talk about. If you're with us in the first hour, we got a chance to talk about how God speaks to his people and provides for them. Listen, God has a plan for you. You got to get with God to find out what that plan is. If you're in your office, slide up. Do a little tap-tap on the keyboard. Slide your coffee closed. If you're driving a truck for your business, turn your tunes up, turn your iPhone up or your Android up. For those mothers that are standing the ground for the family in their homes today with their kids, hello. You're doing a wonderful job. Sit back, relax. Give a shout out to Pat and Tracy and the family as they're riding down to Orlando. Our prayers are with you. Give a shout out to Steve Kalaszewski. Hola, Pittsburgh E's. Morning, morning, morning. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am so encouraged and excited about being with you today. What a wonderful, wonderful first hour that we had as we got a chance to talk about, you know, what is happening in, you know, words of wisdom and understanding God's blessing. If you missed that, you got to catch the first hour. I mean, God wants to talk to you. He says, my sheep know my voice and follow none other. You're going to find about, you know, how God gave somebody a house at 50%, brand new house at 50% of the cost. You don't need a bigger paycheck. You need bigger faith to trust God, that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. Not only just to give you that kind of stuff, so that you can be a witness to people that our God will provide for you when you abide with him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We even talked about how God even moved when somebody was moving in a place of obedience, a couple was, and they gave them a $20,000 pay raise with one meeting. You got to hear that. If you hadn't heard that yet, go back and listen. You can listen on your VFN TV app or on VFNTV.com and listen to the highlights or on the VFN TV blog. You get to it at VFNTV.com. Well, this extra hour, we're going to be talking specifically about, you know, what is the our president, President Barack Obama, what is his vision for our country? It's important. It's hard to get in alignment with, you know, what you don't know. So we need to understand where is our president going with our country? Where does he direct it? He has a vision. He did not get into office without having a plan and a desire to see the country go a certain way. And that's what leaders do. The question is, you know, is it a vision for our country that lines up with our founding fathers, or is it a different vision? And do we want to leave the vision of our founding fathers and the U.S. Constitution and the things that we have to be able to go in a new direction? I mean, that's the privilege. Being an American, we can change things if we want to change it or not. So we can find out, you know, more about that. But first, you know, there is in Syria right now, there is a battle going on. And in God's news behind the news, I want us to be able to listen to a perspective understanding about that particular battle and what's taking place. We'll be right. Listen up. God's news behind the news. You know, we want to find out. We can talk about what God has to say in his word, but it's applicable. You know, it's what we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. God has something to say about his creation. He has something to say about what's going on. He's not silent in the affairs of men. And it's not like you know, and this is what tradition has done today. Mm-hmm. It's like, we'll talk about God Sunday between, you know, 10 and 10:15, but right now I'm just trying to do business. Mm-hmm. You know, right now I'm trying to prevent a war. And it's like, you have to understand, he's able to He wants to walk with you 24/7 and you to walk with him. He's got answers for everything, how to be a father and a mother and how to respond to your parents and how, you know, how to be a wife and a husband and a business owner, how to respond to authority, how to be a president. I mean, the wisdom of God, when you hear about, you know, Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln, that where other presidents bought in to what the strongholds were in the nation, he stood up for what was right. And he just said, I want to entrust, basically he said, I'm just going to just entrust all this with God. I'm just going to do what's right and let God work it out. And it was just pretty cool. Mm. But Syria right now, which is on northern borders of Israel, you have Lebanon and Syria, that's they're at civil war right now. They're fighting in civil war. And it's really, you know, Al-Qaeda and Iran and it's almost like the citizens are caught in between this. Mm-hmm. And it's a second heaven, Ephesians 6:12 right. battle going on. But this is like the hat of Israel. You know, imagine wearing a hat on your head. This is the top of Israel.
Yeah.
And you have our president partnering with Putin, you know, the president of Russia, to bring his battleships down into the Gulf to be able to try to stop this, and which is like the Gog and the Magog aspect of it. Mm. And in addition, there's Russian helicopters in the air. I mean, this is not good. Mm. This is not good. And this is what I want to mention this morning, and it's in the news this morning, that Syria is the biggest stockpiler of chemical weapons. They have the biggest stockpile in the world, it's reported, mm-hmm. of chemical weapons, which are horrific. They've even used them on their own people.
Right.
When they were fighting against Iran, they used them against the Iranian soldiers. They had just, it was just sad, you know, like, and so, and Israel, as you know, and just so you would know also as our listeners that, you know, they can reach every part of Israel with those chemicals.
Right.
They can reach every part of Israel with those chemicals. And there, the word is that if Assad feels like he's going to lose, and he's the leader over there right now. His dad led this way as a tyrant, mm-hmm. and he's leading the same way. That they will move all those chemical weapons and bring them into Lebanon, which is right beside Syria and also on top of Israel. And then Hezbollah will have those chemical weapons, mm-hmm. which are the ones firing thousands of missiles into Israel. And one year they fired thousands of missiles into this small country called Israel, mm-hmm. and they have bomb shelters everywhere. But chemical war, I mean, it's the most gruesome thing, you know, that you can imagine. And right now, the biggest stockpiler of chemical weapons is on top, you know, the northern border of Israel. Russia's getting involved in there. We are kind of passive in our outward stance for them, not understanding, you know, the citizens there need our help. Mm-hmm. For some reason, this is really strange, and this is the reason why it's strange, because there's strategies going on, that President Mubarak, the president of Israel, you know, obviously we talked about that before, and you could find out about it, but, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood was banned in Egypt. Mm-hmm. Of course, our president came in, gave a speech at Cairo, invited the Muslim Brotherhood in, and now they're president of Israel. And it's strange, at the time they're trying to decide the election, that Mubarak is in a coma. They said he fell, you know, in prison. And it's like they're trying to snuff him out, it looks like. I mean, you would think in the natural sense. I have no, I'm just telling you what I know on my heart.
Right.
That when evil's practicing, they cannot have people in the know saying something. Mm-hmm. And who would be in the know other than Mubarak?
Right.
And here this man, you know, He's in jail. He's got a life sentence now for being, you know, probably a tyrannical leader too. And all of us, he's like in some coma.
Right.
And they just said he fell.
Right.
You know, and this is all the way around Israel. And he said, in the word of God lets us know that, you know, all those nations around you will be like a trembling cup. You know, all this stuff will be coming. And here are these chemical weapons on the northern borders of Israel. And we are not really getting involved in that. We didn't get involved in Iran when Iran was going through the same thing that this, you know, Arab Spring that was going on. Mm-hmm. They went to the streets like every other country. And they wrote our president and they said, hey, you know, you said all this stuff, you know, for so long, America said this,
here we are, we're ready to do it. And he told America and the world that they didn't send any communication to him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Only later to report when it came out, they sent a letter saying, please help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please right. help us. And we didn't even respond to them. Well, Syria and Iran are partners. And Iran is the one that's funding all that Al-Qaeda and Hezbollah and all these different things. And so our president doesn't seem to be willing to go and deal with those who are against Israel. He could have done the same thing that he did. I mean, look at Libya, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, you know, when I was in law enforcement and I saw, you know, somebody going around taking people out, eventually they got caught and they were taken out.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, you can't continue to just take lives over sovereign nations. It's like, my goodness, you know? And now for some reason, you know, they are not standing with Israel, against Iran. They didn't stand up for the people while they were being beat in the streets. I don't have a video of it. I could show you a video of it. But right in the middle of the streets, they just sat there and kicked this lady. They kicked her in the ribs. They just kicked her all over the place. And if anything, I mean, that's the way they're treating their people. And we're all about freedom and human rights and all that, but we did not respond to them or help them out. And now Syria, their partners and friends, here they are with all these chemical weapons. They're getting these funds from Iran. And they hate Israel as well and America. And we're just kind of inactive in these two key places that have two huge strongholds in regards to coming against our country.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think that that our leadership is okay with that. Because if you'll go into Libya
mm-hmm.
and you will take out, you know, Gaddafi,
mm-hmm.
you know, take him out. You'll participate and send your troops to the air support and take him out and transition Libya, which is another surrounding the Persian, the Gulf,
mm-hmm.
that it just doesn't make sense why you wouldn't take out Iran situation or partner with them or take out Syria.
Mm-hmm.
And Israel right now is in a dangerous time. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to Avi today. And Avi Mizrahi in Tel Aviv, and he's going to be joining us on VFN Radio, you know, getting the perspective of an Israeli that's sitting here. They're having dreams right now, Pat,
mm-hmm.
in Israel of planes flying over from Iran and dropping bombs on Tel Aviv and then flying back, you know, in the prayer room and all that in Tel mm-hmm. Aviv as they're praying. You know, God's beginning to show visions like that. So we got to pay attention that mm-hmm. that, you know, whatever happens to Israel, whatever happens to the Jews, happens to the church.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And we want to stand for Israel. We want to pray for Israel. If you haven't yet downloaded this application, it's called Pray for Israel. It'll remind you at noon every day, no matter what your time zone is, that you can, it'll just make a noise, make a sound, play music, you know, and remind you of the culture there. And begin to just pray for Israel. If it's just simple, you know, Lord bless Israel. You think about every hour that goes off and people can pray for Israel. So I'm looking forward, you know, to Avi joining us, but realize right this moment, that's what's taking place in Syria. And if they said, this is what they're saying. If in fact it looks like Assad is going to lose his reign, he will shift that stockpile of chemical weapons to Lebanon, which is right there on top of Israel on the northern border. And now all the biggest stockpile of chemical weapons will be sitting on the northern boundaries of Israel. And you're looking at this, too. You're looking at, you know, at some point, America is going to get involved. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to have troops on the ground at some point. You know, and if we pray for Israel now, you know, God can intervene and we won't be in war there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we just sit back and do nothing while Israel's being threatened, you know, you're going to be in a dust cloud soon if you're of that age to be drafted or, you know, go to war and fighting a war right there, the very place that we're talking about. So I want to encourage you, you know, pray for the peace of Israel. You know, pray this thing in Syria would stop, that King Assad would just stop what's going on. You know, he would repent from all of this and he would step down for power. If that's what it is, I don't know what it's going to take up there. God knows. But we don't. Who's going to take over is a big deal. I mean, mm-hmm. Who's going to take over? It could be somebody worse. It could be the Muslim Brotherhood. They're taking over these other nations. you know, we don't want the Muslim Brotherhood taking over any more nations that they're already taking over. So pray for the peace of Israel. That's God's news behind the news.
So you think about it. The Muslim Brotherhood is beginning to take over right now in Syria. What they're finding out today, what they're saying today, is that, you know, Assad's father massacred the Muslim Brotherhood. And now the Muslim Brotherhood, it's not the people, it's not the Syrian people, it's the Muslim Brotherhood that are coming in to take over the way they took over Egypt. That's who's president now, the president of Egypt, which is on the southern border of Israel. In other words, when you step out of Israel, if you're walking south, for example, in Israel, and you stepped out of the nation of Israel and into the next nation, the next step would be Egypt. That's how close, that's Egypt. Now, Syria is on the northern borders. When Pat and I were in Israel, we covered the borders and prayed and went and saw. But you could stand on the northern border of Israel, and you can look and see Syria. You can see Lebanon, and it's just right there. And Israel's a very small, you know, nation. And here we are now. We're starting to see, you know, some things unfold. It's like the Muslim Brotherhood and Islam's ultimate goal is a caliphate. Their goal is to be able to, they believe that everything needs to be under the Islamic law. And we'll talk more about that. I'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But, okay, that's the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to kind of build on this, hopefully. And by the end of this extra hour, you're going to have a good understanding of kind of a direction. Because I'm really feeling more and more in my heart that if you look at Bible prophecy, that we could very easily click over into, you know, the end. It could very easily click over, and we're starting to get, you know, prophetic dreams and visions and some different things, and we don't know whether that is for, you know, a fulfillment of this or that or whatever. But realize this, the Lord can come in a twinkling of an eye. Be ready. Be ready to meet him. But listen to this. Let's don't bury our head in the sand of denial. Let's open our eyes. Let's open our eyes and say, Lord, here we are. We want to know what's going on. And so what we want to do is we want to understand what is the president's vision, you know, for America? Where is he taking us? Because he's about to wrap up the first 4 years, and he's talking about the next 4 years, and he's going to have, you know, kind of take it further in there. And the president of King's College is being interviewed right here on GBTV, and it's Dinesh. You got to hear him. He's going to be talking and being interviewed, and listen to this man. Is a very wise man. He's president of King's College. He used to work on President Ronald Reagan's staff right there, but you're going to be really enlightened. Listen up. We want to know what is the vision? What does transforming America mean? And he, above anybody else I've ever heard, he really gets it. He begins to understand, and he opens things up just systematically about, you know, where is our president taking us? Listen up.
Well, Barack Obama's not a sort of traitor, or he hates America or anything like that. He subscribes to an ideology that sees America as the rogue nation in the world. What is this ideology? It's kind of a third world anti-Americanism, anti-colonialism. The basic idea here is that the whole ship of the world has gone wrong side up. And it's gone wrong side up for 500 years because one civilization, Europe, America, has conquered the rest of the world and stolen its stuff. That's the theory, that these rich countries only became rich by taking the wealth of the poor countries. So Obama, it has a global vision, and that is, I want to set the ship of the world right. And what that means is that America has to go down so the rest of the world can come up.
The night he was elected, he said something along the lines that, because of what we've done today, we have begun to change America and fix the world.
Remaking America. That was right. His phrase. And as I listened to that, I thought to myself, how do you remake America without unmaking America?
Right.
So
it's not rebuild. It was remake.
Right. You got to take down the America that there is to put something new in its place. So now, weirdly, I think from Obama's point of view, he's doing what's good for America. It's almost like he's the coach of the Lakers, and he thinks it's really bad for the Lakers to keep winning. Why? Because it's making them arrogant. It's making them greedy and selfish and exploitative. It would be really good for the Lakers to start losing. So he's calling plays for the Lakers to lose. Now, if we're the Lakers, we'd want to fire this guy, right? But first we have to know that that's his agenda. And the genius of Obama is that he can do exactly what he wants, but explain it in terms that throw us off his path.
You put in the film that, because, you know, you use the Lakers analogy here. No, I don't have to know that that's agenda. If I'm a Lakers fan and the guy keeps losing, do you have to know his agenda to want him fired? No, you don't have to. But people don't, generally, I mean, 40% approval rating is astounding with this kind of record.
He's defying gravity.
Right. You have in the movie this amazing fact that Obama figured it out while he was in college, that he was, that people would want to help him if he put a mask on, right?
Yep.
Obama possesses in his pocket what can be called certificates of racial absolution. Now, I don't mean by this simply the fact that he's black, he's African-American. That's not the key to it. The key to it is that he's a different kind of African-American. He's not Jesse Jackson. He's not Al Sharpton. We're used to black leaders who make racial demands. You're a racist unless you pay me. And that has put America in a very defensive position. Here comes Obama, and he never brings the subject up. He's above it. He's the racial healer. So the point to make
here...
he's
not.
No, he's not. But the fact that he doesn't intimidate you with explicit racial appeals is immensely relieving to whites, because whites go, oh, wow, he allows us to believe that we've gotten beyond all that by voting for him. See, I wondered to myself, why are all these guys like Chris Matthews? Chris Matthews is a hardcore guy. I mean, he grew up with Tip O'Neill. He's, you know, he's on the docks of Boston. He's a tough guy. But when he talks about Obama,
oh, he's got a tingle.
He says, oh, I got a tingle down my leg. He begins to talk in a very effeminate way. Now, why? I think it's nothing to do with Obama. It's Chris Matthews able to say that by my supporting Obama, I'm patting myself on the back. I'm a morally wonderful human being because I can vote for this guy. So this is Obama's secret weapon. He disarms us, and he brings out from the left this sycophantic dedication that is unprecedented.
You have a point in the documentary about the caliphate, the United States
of Islam.
Of Islam. There was a few times I knew I was on the right track when I had you on, when I talked about the caliphate, when I said the Muslim Brotherhood was just absolutely evil and infiltrated the United States, when I talked about... social justice being evil, and get out of your church if it's a social justice church. If, be very careful of that term. Find out exactly what that means. The gates of hell opened up on me. And the caliphate was the last one that just the gates of hell opened up. And look at what's happening now.
Yeah, I think Obama wants to... reduce America's footprint in the world, because he thinks we're stepping on the world. So what he's doing is encouraging anti-American forces in the Middle East. He used force to push out Gaddafi in Libya, and he used diplomacy to push out Mubarak in Egypt. Now, what did those two guys have in common? They were both doing business with the United States. Gaddafi is no friend of ours, but he was behaving himself since 2002. Mubarak was probably our greatest ally in the region, not counting Israel. Meanwhile, Obama refuses to use force when there's massive casualties
Iran?
In Syria.
Didn't even bring up Iran.
There were Iran, you had bigger demonstrations than Tahrir Square.
Yeah.
And Obama says, no, oh no, not only did he not intervene, he told the rest of us to be quiet, let's be calm. And all of that died off. So what does Syria and Iran have in common? They're deadly enemies of the United States, and they are allied with each other. So the only consistent explanation for Obama's double standard in using force over here, but not over there, pushing this guy out, keeping that guy in.
The name of the documentary is 2016. which implies you can see down the road to what it's going to be like in 2016. Stop at Israel. What does Israel look like in 2016?
If I were an anti-colonialist, I would say that it is not enough to have a Palestinian state. It's not enough to give the West Bank and Gaza back. Why? Because the anti-colonial view is that Israel itself is the little colonial power, the little American surrogate sitting and occupying Muslim land.
It's a cancer.
So if I was an anti-colonialist, I would think, what is a clever way to get rid of Israel, to return the whole of Israel to the Muslims? Now, I think I would know the Jews aren't going anywhere, but I would think of ways like, what if I were to support a right of return for Palestinian refugees? What if I were to make it so that Muslims would be the majority in Israel? Mm-hmm. Then the Jews would be a minority in their own country, mm-hmm. and it would cease to be a Jewish country. And I could achieve that result by demanding democracy. Everyone has an equal vote. Mm. Just as if I wanted anti-colonialism in the Middle East, I would demand that Saudi Arabia have a free election. I'd say, royal family, we've seen it now in Egypt. You put yourself on the ballot. You run against the Muslim Brotherhood, and let's see who wins that election. So we look at the Middle East. There are three important countries. There's Iran, there's Egypt, there's Saudi Arabia. Iran has been in the hands of the radical Muslims since 79. Egypt is in the process of transporting itself into the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood. Who's left? Saudi Arabia. So if the radical Muslims get that one, they have Mecca, they have Medina.
If I'm not mistaken, over in the Middle East, 2011 was known as the year of the dictators, and 2012-13 is known as the year of the kings, meaning first we took care of the dictators, next come the kings, which would make you right. One more quick thing. You have a piece where you show Barack Obama sitting with what's his name in Russia, and he leans
Medvedev.
Yeah, Medvedev,
the Russian president.
And he leans over and he says, "Listen, I need some more room here. I'll have more room to maneuver." Chilling, bone chilling. Medvedev says, "I'll transmit to Vladimir."
And I stand with you.
Yeah, and I stand with you. What does that imply?
Well, that implies at the least that he has a hidden agenda. We may not know what that agenda is, but the clear meaning of what Obama is saying is he's saying, look, Medvedev, there are things I want to give you. And he's talking about missile defense in this case. He goes that if I were to tell the American people what those things are, they might not reelect me. So wait, give me space, give me flexibility, his actual words, so that I can do these things after I'm reelected. Remember, in the second term, a president is not tethered to public opinion. He becomes his own man. So weirdly, I think despite all we've seen about Obama, we haven't seen the full Obama.
Do we? That's frightening. Do we survive 2016 if he's elected?
Well, I think that we do not survive as, I mean, the risk is, will America still be a world superpower? That's question number one. The second is, what about America's wealth? Now, I mentioned in the film, this is directly from the Federal Reserve, American wealth from 2007 to now is down 40%. So that's almost half. If American wealth were to drop another 40% in the next 4 years, that would be a total decline of American wealth of 66%, not 80%, but 66%. America would cease to be a first world country. Because this is happening at the time when other countries are dramatically coming up. Brazil, Indonesia, Chile,
yeah.
India. So America would essentially drop back into the also-ran of nations.
Okay.
Which is to say we would be exactly in the position that the world was in 1500 before colonialism. There was no superpower. There were multiple nodes of influence.
That's
the world I believe that Obama wants.
Think
about it. 1500, would we be back? The vision that our president has, which he thinks is good, it's not that he's thinking that it's a bad vision for America, is that America needs to be humbled. It needs to be humbled, taken back to the 1500s in regards to our influence, in regards to our economy. And I'm seeing, I mean, imagine if you have a boat. If you have a boat and you wanted to sink the boat and you poke one hole in the boat. It just, and you have to wait for the water to come through that little small hole, and it's, you know, it's starting to sink, and it's like, well, if I want to sink this boat, and I want to make sure it sinks, because if I just poke one hole in it, and somebody wants to stop this boat from sinking, they just got to plug one hole. I mean, if you want it to happen quickly, if you want it to happen where no matter what people would go to be able to stop it, you would poke more than one hole in it. You would poke a whole bunch of holes in it because you would want punch a whole bunch of holes in it because you would want to make sure even if some holes got plugged, there's enough holes to make sure this ship sunk. And America's ship is sinking before our eyes. My basic understanding prophetically and what God has shown me, what he's shown those that I'm aware of that are hearing, the way we're hearing is God is fashioning a storm. He is humbling us. He's humbling us. He's allowing us to be humbled because we refuse to follow him and his ways. You know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Listen, it's everywhere. And some of the things we're talking about, you know, the economy, you know, we've seen the economy in 6 minutes fall. It literally fell. We saw paper money be in a vision being totally burned up, and that's what they're talking about today. We're seeing things happen to our nation and fall to its knees. We're seeing immigration where the borders openly before our eyes. You know, people, our leaders are saying, we're not going to protect the borders. What does that mean? Then people, like water, are going to flood into our country. It gives it more of a chance to flood, right? Then we're seeing Islam. We literally have seen, the Lord has shown us, our president making a covenant with Islam, signing an agreement with Islam in the White House. He's invited people who are known for as being a terrorist. He sought counsel. He started his campaign with Bill Ayers, who is a terrorist. He and is more of a colonialist, and that's what he's talking about as he's sharing the president of King's College is talking about. Is we have to understand that. And it helps us understand, you know, his vision. His vision is that, you know, Great Britain and America, that particular civilization took over the world, and now they need to give it back. And when they give it back, then the world will be like it was in the 1500s, and we would be humbled. The question is, you know, if we're moving in pride, you know, God's going to humble us. God's going to humble us. But the thing is, if we repent, if we humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways, if we say, I was wrong, and we say, listen, God, we want you, and you can individually do this, because I was sharing in the first hour, no matter what the nations do in the world, kings come and kings go, kingdoms stand and kingdoms fall, and God rises them up and God will take them down. No matter what happens, God will bless you if you decide today to begin to follow him. If you don't know him as your Savior, go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. And if you do know him, but you've just been very religious and you need to begin to abide with him, it's dump man's religions and his traditions and his philosophies and go after God and his word. You need to begin to abide with him. If you don't know how to do that, we got a simple plan available for you at iabide.org. Request your free plan today. And so what we're talking about here is there's all kinds of holes being punched into the American ship. There's all kinds of holes. And so what you see, it's not, you can't focus on one thing. I mean, our head law enforcement officer is selling guns to the Mexican drug lords and the mafiosos and all those guys down in Mexico. And one of our own people got shot by him. And this is called Fast and Furious. That's a hole. That's a hole. We have people that live on our borders in Arizona and Texas and California that these guys are coming over those borders with drugs and with those that are just washing in, people that are coming in like a flood into our country. And our president's openly saying, we will not defend the borders. We will not, you can prosecute people all you want to, but we're not going to represent them. You can, you know, ICE, which is the immigration arm of the government, and that's what the president's supposed to do is protect our borders, but is there a hole being punched into our ship there? And then you have a hole being punched into our economy. We're still at 9% unemployment. Trillions of dollars is being spent. I mean, you could have just given the money to people to put in their pockets. They could have, you could have paid off mortgages. But the goal of it is to be able to drain the banks, to drain the finances. So that's another hole being punched. You have now changing in regards to the viewpoint of gay marriage and a same-sex marriage and all that, and pushing that particular agenda. And that is another hole being punched in the fabric of America. And it just keeps coming and coming. And the Muslim Brotherhood and the ultimate goal of the adversary is to take a religious rule, a oppressive rule over God's creation, his people. And Islam, their ultimate goal in Islam, and we're going to get Islam 101. We're going to figure out, help me understand Islam. No, the Muslim Brotherhood, I want you to hear the story of the Muslim Brotherhood. We're going to kind of get a whiteboard. You're going to be able to go to the VFN-TV blog and get a detailed whiteboard drawing of this, but you're going to hear it now, and it'll explain the Muslim Brotherhood, and that is Islam. That's who's taken over the leadership in these countries, is where these Arab Spring is, and that's who's fighting for leadership in Syria at this very, very moment. So let's figure out and let's get, Muslim Brotherhood 101 and begin to understand, how did it come to this? Where did it come from? And who are they? Because our president and his people are saying that he's the one that empowered them and brought them in Cairo, Egypt, and saw that they got in leadership in Egypt right now. And listen up.
Today, the Middle East stands on the brink of full-scale conversion to Muslim Brotherhood fanaticism, yet President Obama does not seem to see the problem. President Obama's hand-picked director of national intelligence, James Clapper, said that the Brotherhood is, quote, largely secular, unquote. President Obama seemed unconcerned about the rise of the Brotherhood in Egypt. In fact, he invited Ikhwan members to his Cairo speech in 2009, tailored the speech to meet the Brotherhood's grievances and indulge his narratives, and cozied up to Muslim Brotherhood American satellites despite their involvement with terror groups all across the world. The Obama policy of courting the Muslim Brotherhood has not changed the brothers. It has empowered them to advance their anti-American program. They are now on the verge of control in Egypt and Libya, and their ideology dominates the Muslim world. But what is the Muslim Brotherhood? Well, in 1928, a young Egyptian educator known as the Guide to his followers and Hassan al-Banna to the rest of the world founded a group called the Muslim Brotherhood. The movement was virulently anti-colonial, but not because Banna was a nationalist or an Egyptian patriot. He was neither. Banna's loyalty was to the Muslim Ummah and the ideal that Islam must dominate across national lines. He was anti-colonial because he abhorred the West. The Brotherhood's development was spurred by Turkey's rigorous campaign of secularization. Following the final defeat of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Kemal Atatürk had spearheaded a successful independence movement, expelling occupiers and establishing an independent state. Determined to turn westward, Atatürk drove Islam out of the public square and marginalized it in the classroom. In 1924, he abolished the caliphate, a symbolically shattering event for Muslims. Banna had drawn precisely the opposite conclusion about the sorry state of the Muslim world. For him, Islam was the solution. The problem had been too little of it, not too much, and not just any Islam. Banna had in mind a very particular brand, Salafism. The term Salafia comes from a phrase meaning righteous ancestors, referring to Muhammad and his companions. Banna believed that by mixing Islam with modernism, Muslims had strayed from the path. And the only way to restore the Islam of the founders was to faithfully implement divine law called Sharia. With Sharia's injunctions firmly in place, the Muslim nation would inevitably rise to the hegemony that was Allah's due. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. It's widely perceived to be representative of true Islam. In the late spring of 2011, the Mapping Sharia Project published conclusions from an important study. After surveying 100 randomly selected mosques across the United States, the authors found that 81% of them disseminated Islamic texts that advocate violence. In nearly 85% of the mosques, the imam favorably recommended this literature for study by congregants. Moreover, 58% of the mosques invited guest lecturers known for promoting violent jihad. Now, this is the ideology of the Brotherhood, and this is the same Brotherhood that has dominated the so-called Arab Spring. It has played President Obama for a fool, and the West for suckers.
When you think about it, what they're actually doing is just pushing their agenda. And to us in America, and the vision of our leader is just another hole in the boat, just another hole in the boat. We to be able to bring America to its knees. I mean, think about the creed. When they talk about the creed of the Muslim Brotherhood, and you have to understand that when they say Allah is God, there's only one way to God, and it's through his son, Jesus Christ. Many people talk about a Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. They talk about Jesus in the Quran. They say that he is a prophet, but he is not the son of God, and he has to come back and repent before the world and saying, for calling himself the son of God. And it's the total opposite of the gospels, total opposite of the word of God. And we'll talk more about that in the future. But you have to understand, when they say Allah is God, that's their objective. They're saying that Jesus is not the Lord. It's another God. When they say that the Quran is their law, and they're saying with that the Quran says that the Jews and the Christians the Jews have to be destroyed, and the infidel has to be either destroyed, convert, or enslaved. I mean, that's the ultimate goal. They want to rule on earth. They want to rule. They believe that the law should be the Quran. And when you hear jihad is their way, jihad is when you see things that happen on 9/11, when they flew two planes into the Twin Towers in New York, and they flew one plane into the Pentagon. That's called jihad. That's why they shouted out Allahu Akbar, because every single day, and they're called a prayer from a mosque, which we talked about, and you can find out in the highlights, that's what they're saying. They're saying they're calling out his name. This is something they hear continually. And they think that's actually a good thing. Jihad is a good thing, and it's actually their way. And I want you to hear it again. I want you to hear it again so you understand what the goal is of the Muslim Brotherhood. So when you see our president, you know, making a covenant with the Muslim Brotherhood, which is another hole in our boat. There's so many holes that's being put into it. It just really looks like, you know, God has taken America to its knees. Listen again to what their creed is. As a matter of fact, VFN radio is not broken. You're going to hear it a couple times just so you can get it. They say you got to hear it seven times. I want you to get this, to know it, and you can hear it again on VFN radio.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective. The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
We've got to get it. Here it goes again. Listen.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, and dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
Hear it again. Listen. We got to get it.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
You cannot make a covenant with us. Listen again.
The Brotherhood remains the foremost power in the Middle East because of its credo. Allah is our objective. The Prophet is our leader. The Quran is our law. Jihad is our way. And dying in the name of Allah is our highest objective.
We have to understand the reason why this minister, Christian minister, is in jail in Iran, because he refused to acknowledge Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, as a true prophet. Because to acknowledge Muhammad as a true prophet of God is to deny Jesus Christ, because Muhammad says that Jesus Christ is not the son of God. So he can't say Muhammad, and the church needs to understand, you can't say and say that Muhammad is a prophet of God at the same time say that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You're denying Jesus by becoming a follower of Muhammad and Islam. No, Islam doesn't have any problem with that, because they don't believe Jesus Christ is the son of God. They believe he's a prophet. And so we have an issue with that as Christians, because we say we know that Jesus Christ is the son of God and the only way to God, and any other way is a thief and a robber. If you have you not yet subscribed to VFN TV, you need to subscribe. It's a free subscription, but you can find out in detail what I'm briefly talking to you about today on VFN Radio. because you have access to all these prophetic teachings. And one of the teachings that we're talking about, or some of the things we're talking about, is called the State of the Nation, Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel. You've got to get it. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Our president has made a covenant with Islam. And through migration alone, they're beginning, that's how they began to take over in the concept of Egypt and Libya, and they're trying to do it in Syria, is that America is a republic. We are a republic. When you say the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States, listen to it again. And this is why they're wanting to remove it, because it talks about God and it talks about our form of government, which most people think we're a democracy. We are not a democracy. We have Democrats, we have Republicans, we have independents, but we are not a democracy. We are a republic. And when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, it's I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Think about that. Most people think that America is a, they think that it's a democracy. And the goal of our president, his vision is to turn us into a democracy. And a democracy is based on convincing the largest number of people to vote a particular way and even vote the Constitution out. And I'm going to tell you more after this break. But listen, there's a strategy for all these holes. There's a strategy why so many people are being let come over the borders right now, and all these different things are taking place. It's poking every hole that can be poked into the ship of America so that it begins to sink, or at least gets to a lower, humble level, like he said, the 1500s. What is the key to it? The key to it is God's people. And that's what VFN Radio goes to is supposed to be for God's people, you know, Christians who call themselves Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, the church, you know, and it's not a building, it's people. Those that have gone astray, to be able to encourage you to come back, and those that are being drawn to the Lord. Listen, the hope is not political. Believe me, it is not political. The hope is us, the church, humbling ourselves, turning from our wicked ways. God hears from heaven, and he stops this plan that he intended for us. More in just a moment.
I want to encourage you. You know, if you feel like you had a call in your life, you feel like you just want to get closer to God, you're ready to get a better perspective, a deeper perspective, you just want to walk with God. You know, you want to be close to him. You want to love God and love others and lead others to the same. You know, it's so important to learn the ways of God. It's so important to not just, you know, give your heart to God, which is ultimately important, but then you have to learn his ways. He says, those who follow my teachings are really my disciple. The dangerous thing about not learning his ways, we'll end up following some ways that are not his ways, and eventually we could be led astray. Don't be led astray. You can register today for VFNU.org. It's Fine Fellowship Network University. If you feel like you're called into leadership, you feel like you want to go deeper in God. And also, join us in the VFN family. You know, VFNfamily.org. Find out if that's for you. Find out if you're called to connect with and relate with believers who are abiding with God and just desire to follow God in that. But it's a VFNU for VFN University, VFNU.org. You might not know this, but we have the VFN TV blog, the VFN radio blog. It's a blog where we're talking to you all the time about all the different things, God's news, behind the news, some really funny things, some things like dreams that we're having about heaven and prophetic words and conversations. You know, we want to take it to the next level. And we do that on the VFN TV blog. Mm-hmm. You know, you may be hearing something on the radio. We're talking about the blog. It's the VFN TV blog. You can get to it at VFNTV.com and click on the blog. And it's a button on the menu that tells you how to get there. And you go over there, and it has all these things we've been talking about in the program. You can search for it. You can even subscribe to the blog itself. If you hover over in the right-hand corner, something pops out from the right side, and it says subscribe. What that means is every time there's a new entry in the blog, it will go into your email, whatever your email account is, and it'll be sitting there on your computer. What we do also with that is quite often that whatever we were talking about on the radio that day about that particular topic in that segment, you have an MP3 link right in there. So you got the videos of what we're talking about. You have the pictures of what we're talking about. You have the resources. You know, sometimes we're talking about something, you need to find out where it was that heard from. Mm-hmm. And you also can click on the link and you begin to hear it just like an MP3. It will play right on your iPhone. You can share it with your Facebook friends. It's a great way. You know, you can hear the word of wisdom for that day, and you can take that link, copy it, and put it on your Facebook and share it with your friends, and all those people will be encouraged. There's so many things available for you on the VFN TV blog. It's the VFN TV and the Davey Radio Program blog. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are talking a little bit about the ship, the direction of our ship. Where is America going? What is the vision of our leader, our president? And it's unfolding before our eyes. You know, and as I said, as you've been listening to us on VFN Radio, that, you know, when God's people asked for government, when they asked for a king like everyone else, they looked at everybody else's government, and they thought that they did not have the government like everybody else did, and they said, that's what we want. And what they were doing, they were rejecting God. They were turning to government for their source, for their protection. And Samuel goes to God and begins to talk to God about it. And God says, listen, you know, they're not rejecting you, Samuel. And that's God's form of government. God has a form of government for his people. And we teach that in VFNU, you know, is that we got to dump men's form of government. We've taken in the Robert's Rules of Order. We've taken in corporate systems. We've taken in the things of this world. We've taken in the political arena. I mean, sometimes you don't know whether you're in a political meeting or a church meeting when you in the tradition. You don't know which one's which. And people are vying for positions like God did not already call somebody. What is God saying here? And we got to repent and turn back to God and understand that there is hope in the context of that. But this is a storm that's being fashioned. When they decided they wanted a king, they didn't say we wanted Saul. They did not say they wanted Saul. They didn't say that. They just said they wanted a king like everyone else. And what they're saying is, I want a government like Europe. I want a socialistic government. I want a Marxist government. I want a communistic government. And what they're saying in that, and the isms that you can find out in VFN TV highlights or even in the blog, that it's the way economy's done. We want, you know, everything to be distributed equally and all these different things. And in that, so God then chooses. He makes the choice of who's the king's going to be. And he chooses Saul. Saul's hiding behind his luggage, you know, shaking, all nervous wreck, you know, when he's the day that Samuel's going to tell everybody, this is your king, because God chose him. And he made him king over Israel, not because Saul wanted to be king, but because God wanted Saul to be king. Because God's people wanted a king, and so God chose Saul, and so God says, okay, Saul, you're going to be the king. And when God explained in detail what it was going to be like, and you can see this on VFN TV, a prophetic teaching, VFNTV.com. If you be a free subscriber today and get it, but it's SOS, A Tale of Two Kings. It's either going to be Samuel or it's going to be Saul, but you can't have them both. And so then God gives them Saul. So can we really criticize Saul for doing everything that God said a king's going to have to do? And if you look at the list of things that are taking place today in America, that's exactly, it's verbatim what God said through Samuel. This is what a king is going to do. If you want a king to be your king and not Jesus to be your king, church, we're not talking about America here. We're talking about the Christians in America, that when we turn to government, then God says, this is how it's going to be. And he's going to tax. What we didn't do by choice, God's going to do by force, but he's going to do it through a king, and the king's going to demand more from us than God would have demanded from us. And so it's just happening just like that. And so in that, you know, what do we do with all this? With all this, you know, there's so many things happening, and I want to be able to deliver it as much as I can today so we can move on. But we can stop it. You know, if the storm was stopped with Nineveh when Jonah began to preach, that's why we're on VFN Radio, to tell you, listen, don't look to everybody else. You today stop, repent, turn, abide, and listen to God and say, you know, begin to cry out for our nation and cry out for justice and cry out for mercy, and that God would stop the storm that's being fashioned before us. And you want to find out more about that also in VFN TV at VFNTV.com or on your iPhone or your Android phone. You know, you can watch, you know, Is America Under Judgment? And you're going to be really surprised. And also the Elijah storm. what happens when God's beginning to return and these different prophetic happenings that are happening before our eyes. But we are, how do we stop this? The church repents. We turn to God. We run to where God is, and we begin to say, God, what do you want? And you listen to a prophet. God always sends a prophet and begins to say, this is what happened, and this is what God did for you. And all you have to do is turn. If you turn back to God, if you say that the direction you were going was wrong, and you turn to God, and you turn back to God, and begin to follow his ways and say, I want to make your ways my ways, God, and he gives us grace to be able to do that, he can stop the storm, because he planned a storm against Nineveh, but a great city, he called it, that he was concerned about, even though it was in evil. And Jonah wasn't concerned about it, but God was concerned about it. And he stopped the storm that he was fashioning. What does that mean? He can stop this storm. There's still hope. This is a short period of time, but there's still hope. There's still hope where if we humble ourselves, that God would not take us, sink this boat of freedom that he's given us to be able to use to be able to worship him. So what do? We humble ourselves. We pray. We understand as an American that we can actually stand up and begin to speak openly about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a republic. We're not a democracy. These borders are being flooded with people through migration alone, immigration alone. Islam is coming in. You can go on the VFN TV blog. I don't have time to play it for you. But they're taking over just through migration. Not taking over in the context of trying to take over. They just move in enough people that move into a particular region like Europe. I think in the next 20 years, it's going to be an Islamic rule over it, just because there's enough Muslims there to be able to vote that way. It's the same thing that happened in Egypt, and it's happening in different areas. But America is like 9 million. I don't have the numbers. I can't give you the numbers down, but they're on the VFN TV blog. And just through the fact that we're not even having our children, that America's aborting their children, they're choosing not to have children, and the children that they do conceive, that they take in the womb through abortion and through murder, that Islam is not doing that. They're actually increasing in number through population alone, and just through osmosis, just being present and continuing to do what we're supposed to have been done, you know, to be able to be fruitful and multiply, that there's going to be enough people that when these borders are pouring in of people, when Islam's coming in with enough sympathizers that are just basically believing the lies that government's going to provide for your needs, they're going to flip the switch. They'll vote. They'll say, let's go turn this thing into a democracy, not a republic. And then all of a sudden they take the vote. And just like Egypt flipped, just like they want the Arab Spring and all these nations are flipping, America will flip. And it'll be a democracy. Then the vote will be taken, and all these people that we're seeing come in will pull a lever to vote. And the America that we know, the U.S. Constitution that gives us the First Amendment rights to be the church, where the government can make no laws concerning the church, will be gone. And the church will be under oppression. Let's cry out to God. Let's cry out to him. Let's turn to him. Let's say, Lord, we need you, God. Lord, open our eyes. Wake up the sleeping church. Begin to tell your friends. Share VFN radio with your friends. Go to the highlights. Go to VFN TV blog and begin to share it with everybody. We have moments left, because 2016, what it's going to look like at the end of that particular vision, of an eight-year vision of our present president, is to go back to the 1500s, pre-colonial days, where Great Britain and America, quote, you know, took over the world and took the things of the world, and now it's going to be given back. And it's time to redistribute, not just what in America, it's time to redistribute everything America's got right back into the world, believe it or not. And, you know, and it's the mercies of God. You know, the book that our president had written is called Dreams of My Father. And understanding that we have to understand, and I'll be talking about sins of our fathers, that the church has to wake up, because there are things that our fathers in this nation has done that if we don't turn to God, those things will turn back on us. We only stand because of God. We stand because of his goodness and his grace. We cannot throw our chest out and think we're, listen, God's mercy is keeping us, and he will forgive our sins unless we turn our back on him. And if we turn our back on him, well, you'll find out more about that. Well, God bless you. I enjoyed having you on the Extra Hour today. We're coming to the end, believe it or not, of the Extra Hour. Today's our lesson was the vision for America in our Extra Hour. And Muslim Brotherhood 101. God bless you. Don't forget, you can find out more at BFNTV.com. And we'll be on the 24-hour loop in approximately 30 minutes. God bless.